VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today as the crisis in Europe is intensifying and multiple countries are being drawn into this matter now. We saw the invasion by Russia into Ukraine. I've got a friend who was texting late last night into the early morning hours, telling of the bombings taking place in the city where they have family members, children absolutely frightened by all that's taking place. Death toll continues to mount. And while not dealing so much with the political side, but the spiritual side, we've got reports of Ukrainians, praise God, that are coming to faith in Christ. We're also told that there's a thirst for Bibles, with one Christian store had totally run out of Bibles. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first portion of our program today, we are going to introduce you and bring you back to a guest who has a ministry that's been at work in Ukraine for many years. With us, Paul Popoff, CEO of Door of Hope International. They're a voice and helping hand to persecuted Christians worldwide. Many of you know his story. When he was just 5 years old, his father, Harlan Popoff, a prominent Protestant minister, was brutally taken from his family by the KGB in 1948 and arrested on false charges of being a spy for America. Well, our guest today, along with his family, were branded as enemies of the state, and he's with us today. Paul, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It is a pleasure to be with you.
Paul, if you would, just first of all, tell us about the ministry that Door of Hope International has had in Ukraine. Tell us about what ministry has been carried out for the past several years.
Well, from the first time I traveled to Ukraine in 1970, that is quite a few years ago now, it was Bible deliveries. The hunger, the spiritual hunger for this part of the world is very, very...
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I'm back here. Okay. Just got a message from my assistant here. The purpose for those trips were primarily to bring in the Word of God, Bibles, that we smuggled in large quantities. Actually, the first printing my father did when he came to the free world in Sweden in 1964 was a Ukrainian New Testament, and that was the first thing that we smuggled to Ukraine from Sweden in little Moskovich and Ladas. So I feel that Ukraine is kind of a special country for me. I'm born in Bulgaria, but spent a lot of time in both in Russia and Ukraine, and for many, many years, I've been going back and forth, and we've had a wonderful ministry there, and I can tell you that God is working in Ukraine as we speak. And why is Putin attacking Ukraine today? Well, in my opinion, it is a spiritual warfare between darkness and evil forces, personalized in a dictator who is a killer and liar, Putin, and the many new believers, and the growth of Christianity in Ukraine.
Paul, you are in constant contact by phone with some of your workers in Ukraine. What are you hearing from them?
That today is a very, very difficult day for them. We have funds in the country. We have resources inside Ukraine. And unfortunately, because the bombardment is so heavy, people are stuck in the shelters where there is no food, there is no hygiene, there is no facilities, thanks to maybe poor planning from politicians. It is a very severe time for them, and we are hoping that somehow the European leaders will put little teeth in their speaking of sympathy and support for Ukraine by making it possible for a corridor of of a free zone of where no airplanes and no helicopters can fly, where humanitarian aid can go in the country, just like what happened in Kosovo and in Yugoslavia when the war was there. Flight-free zone is a very, very important request by the president of Ukraine, Zelensky.
I understand that there have been just large numbers of those who've been trying to escape from the capital city of Ukraine, and they've been running into difficulties. You've had some contact with them. Tell us what's happening there, those who have been trying to escape.
So far, it has been between 50 and 100,000 people who have been able to leave the central part of Ukraine, or eastern part of Ukraine, and to the west, to Lvov, where Pastor Misha is working very hard to help the refugees to get on trains and buses and vehicles to cross the borders into Poland, Moldavia, Romania, Hungary, and Slovakia. And we have, of course, churches in all those areas, which, thank God, is more than willing to help.
Yeah. Tell us about Pastor Gorbachev.
Alexander, Pastor Alexander, is in Donetsk area. It's difficult for me to put myself in his shoes. He is in a very difficult position right now. And he has been helping so many people over the years in the Donetsk area where the Russians invaded in 2014. But now he's not able to do anything. He's hiding, and the bombs are raining down on in the town where he lives.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting these reports from multiple towns. Bombs are coming down, and rattling, shelving, and everything else in homes. Children are very frightened as to what is taking place. We know that there have been a number of civilian casualties that have also taken place, but we understand that even in these difficult times that there are Ukrainians that are coming to faith in Christ. We understand that there have been many, many people, even in basements and other locations, taking time to sing hymns of praise to God as well.
Amen. The Christians in Ukraine are growing. They're coming closer to the Lord. When I was in Ukraine last time, I received a videotape from one of the leaders of the Baptist movement of 2,000 Christians being baptized in one time right in the middle of Kiev in the river. And it is such a blessing for me to see how God has worked in that country. It started and intensified in 2014 when they invaded Donetsk, but it has continued and it will continue and grow. And Putin is going to regret what he is doing, because what he is trying to do is going to be turned back on him. And I hope that he will not be around for too long time.
Paul Popoff is with us today. He's the CEO of Door of Hope International, and they are a group that has ministered to the persecuted Christians worldwide. As we've mentioned, his father was a prominent Christian minister, brutally attacked and taken from his family by the KGB. You know him, Harlan Popoff. Paul has been with us before telling his story. And I know that this issue is intensifying. I know it is ringing very, weighing very heavy on your heart right now, Paul. And I understand that your organization, Door of Hope International, has actually started a Ukraine crisis fund. We'll tell people how to get there, but what will these funds be used for?
They will be divided between helping people inside Ukraine, as well as the refugees in Poland, Moldavia, and Romania. The practical help to get people away from the border areas, and get them inside the country to homes is a very high priority. We don't want people to, in this cold weather, to be in tents by the border in camps like we have in Syria and in other parts of the world. But in the Europeans have opened their heart. I'm very proud. That they are helping in such a wonderful way to open their homes for refugees all over, even in Germany and Austria and Sweden, Scandinavian countries. It is just the logistics when the refugees need help to get to those various transportation means.
Yeah.
To get food, to get some warm clothing, and the darkness will dissipate. God's light is stronger. The light has always been stronger than the darkness.
And I know this just rings so close and dear to your heart here as well, Paul, as you know so many in this region and those who have been ministering and those who are being impacted, those who have been sacrificially giving of themselves to help those going through this time of need. You had started this Ukraine Crisis Fund for those whom the Lord taps on the shoulder to be burdened for this. How can they participate?
Well, to call the office and give a donation, the number there is 1-770-440-3644. They can go on our website, dohai.org.
Well, let me.
They can go to something called Give, Send, Go.
Yeah, let me re-give this information so that that is the toll-free number is 1-877-440-3644. That's 877-440-3644. Or you can go to the website of the organization Door of Hope International. That's Dohi, D-O-H-I. So take first letter of each word, Door of Hope International, Dohi.org. And if you look under the section on latest news there, you'll find information on this. Paul, let me ask you this as well. For those who said, how can we best be praying for the situation? How can we best be praying for Ukraine? I know there are many in Russia who do not want this war to take place, and neighboring nations, there are so many that are impacted. How can our listeners best be praying?
They need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are in desperate need for their safety, first of all. To pray that the word of God will continue to be distributed in Ukraine, and pray for the refugees that they will find homes and hope and sustain them in their time of trial.
Amen. Amen. We have just go ahead, Paul.
Just wanted to say that the funds are the best way to help at the moment, to send material conveyors and packages and containers and so forth. There is no time for that, and it is also very expensive. So we can send the money right away. It takes 4 minutes to send funds to Moldavia and to Romania and to the neighboring countries.
Paul, just stay on the line for just a moment. I'm up against a break. We'll get a concluding thought from you here right after the break. So stay with us. And friends, you stay with us here too. We got more to discuss on Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what are comets made of?
Chris, comets are sometimes referred to as dirty snowballs. They're mainly ice, but with a lot of solid particles mixed in. As a comet goes around the sun, the solar heat and solar wind vaporize part of the comet, and we see the tail as those particles are stripped away. Now we find that sometimes not only is the tail stripped away, but sometimes the head is lopped off, speeding up the comet's disintegration. Obviously, comets can't last too long. Thus, they are a strong sign of a recently created universe. The Bible refers to these comets as wandering stars that don't follow the standard motion of the stars or the planets. They were created on day 4 of creation week, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America as the crisis in Europe intensifies and so many people impacted in many different countries. And we're talking with Paul Popoff right now. He is the CEO of Door of Hope International. They have been ministering in Ukraine for many, many years. And Paul, I know that this hits near and dear to your heart. You know what persecution is like. You had your own father taken from you. You know what it means to be certainly a refugee and to be in need. You know what it means to see the faces of many who are being impacted by this and displaced as a result of all that's unfolding right now. And I just want to hearken back to what you said at the very beginning. You see this really as being a spiritual battle that is taking place.
It is a spiritual battle between evil and good.
Mm-hmm.
The Putin's, as you have, if you follow a little bit of foreign policy, you know that he has killed his own people. He has killed many people. He has imprisoned many people. He has done many, many evil things, and he wants to reactivate and organize a big imperium like the Soviet Union. So he's a very, very dangerous, evil person that we cannot just negotiate and talk to and think that he will change his stripe. Yeltsin did a very big mistake when he appointed him to be a prime minister in the 90s, and unfortunately Yeltsin was a little bit of the alcoholic type and didn't really have all his faculties, and that mistake is costing us dearly right now. But pray also for that we have a flight capability over Ukraine so that the Russians cannot rule the skies over Ukraine. I think that even if it's not American planes, there could be European planes that secure the airspace over Ukraine. And we also need to pray that the sanctions of various kinds are 100%, not 80%, not 70% of the banks, not 70% of this and that. We are still buying oil from them, and we are still treating them as there is some kind of a human being on the other side of the negotiation table. It is a very evil force, and in the long run, we might lose this war, but in the long run, we will win. Truth will win. The light will win over darkness. I am optimistic and praying that this will happen soon.
Again, folks, Paul Popoff with us today, the Ministry Door of Hope International. They have started a Ukraine Crisis Fund, and if you wish to participate in that, here's a website as well as a toll-free number, dohi.org. That stands for Door of Hope International, dohi.org. You look under the section on latest news, you'll find information there, or you may call their toll-free number at 877-440-3644. That's 877-440-3644. Paul, what word do you want to leave with our listeners here today?
Thank you so much. I sense in my soul and spirit that many people will be helping and supporting us in not only prayer, but in many other ways. We need to feel that we have the Christians in the United States behind us.
God bless you, Paul. Thank you for this report here today.
Thank you, and God bless you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for what you do for God's kingdom.
Amen. God bless you, Paul. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. That was Paul Popoff with us today, CEO of Door of Hope International. And Paul has an extensive background. He knows what persecution is. He knows what displacement is. Certainly has lived through so much. And as you can see, it hits him tremendously to know what many of his frontline workers are going through at this time. And certainly very troubling to him and to their ministry as well. Well, friends, we're going to continue on with a number of stories, and that was certainly a firsthand account of what was going on. But several things going on with this. He had mentioned even oil. And while oil prices rise due to the invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration is delaying new federal oil and gas leases now. Isn't that amazing? The halt in federal oil and gas leases is Biden's response to a court ruling that blocked the administration's attempt to emphasize potential damage from greenhouse gas emissions when creating rules for polluting industries, the Associated Press reported. It's also being reported, and I know I've got the story somewhere before me here, about the record amount of oil that the U.S. is right now acquiring from Russia. Let me get to that, find that story here quickly if I can, because it is a matter of what many of you are seeing going up at the pumps right now as well. But here is the story, and that is U.S. Petroleum. This is CNSNews.com. In 2021, which was President Joe Biden's first year in office, the U.S. imported a record volume of crude oil and petroleum products from Russia. According to the preliminary numbers for 2021 published Monday by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, during 2021, the U.S. imported a monthly average of 670,000 barrels per day of crude oil and petroleum products, according to the EIA's preliminary numbers. Also, what's interesting is President Biden is joining other Western nations in releasing a total of 60 million barrels of crude oil amid the crisis taking place. Overall, 31 member nations of the IEA, including the U.S., agreed to coordinate the release. The decision was made in light of Russia's incursion into Ukraine and its effects on global energy. Here's from the Washington Examiner. Russia's attack on its neighbor stretched into its sixth day Tuesday, a deadly rocket strike, killing seven civilians, including three children, raising fears that Vladimir Putin's forces were targeting heavily populated and residential areas. We have also a report coming to us that the cluster bombs had been used. This is being reported by Amnesty International. And thermobaric rockets used Monday, the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. Had said. These weapons suck oxygen from the surrounding environment, creating a fiery explosion and a large pressure wave. People who are hit by the blast but far enough away to survive are left with internal injuries like ruptured eardrums and severe concussions, internal bleeding, ruptured organs, according to a CIA report cited by the New York Post. The Daily Wire is reporting the U.S. has officially asked 12 Russians diplomats to leave American soil no later than March 7th, accusing them of espionage activities. National Review telling us that a senior U.S. defense official said Tuesday that the Russian military's advance on Kiev has stalled because of logistical issues, while Ukrainian President Zelensky accused Russia of war crimes as an apparent strike on Ukraine's second largest city. We generally sense that the Russian military movement to Kiev has started at this point. The official noted that a 40-mile-long convoy of Russian military vehicles seen in satellite imagery has not made meaningful progress toward the capital city in recent hours. Russian troops may be running out of food. Some reports also indicate that some of the Russian military running out of fuel as well, while the U.S. Has indications that the Russian units may have surrendered without a fight in that area. Let's see. The Epoch Times telling us that President Zelensky has signed an application formally requesting that Ukraine join the European Union. And then it's being reported also here today by the National Review that the EU voted today to advance Ukraine's application for membership in the EU. And this emergency appeal was made. Overwhelming majority of European Parliament representatives voted for accepting Ukraine, 637 in favor, 13 against, 26 choosing to abstain. However, Ukraine's application is not being fast-tracked. Countries are generally required to go through a number of steps to obtain membership, and that process can actually take years. Also, this was very interesting. An ambassador from Ukraine yesterday spoke to the United Nations to give a personal picture of the human cost of Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine, the cost to the Russians themselves. The ambassador, Sergei Kislestia, forgive my pronunciation there, shared some text messages that he described as the final words of a Russian soldier to his mother. I'm going to play for you a brief clip from his speech. These are messages. This is a message as he read the text between a Russian mother and her son, a soldier in the Russian army.
Because I would like to read from the screenshot of the smartphone of a killed Russian soldier. That's an actual screenshot from someone who is dead already. Лёш, ты как? Почему так долго не отвечаешь?
Why has it been so long since you responded? Вы точно на учениях? Are you really in training exercises? Спрашивает мать убитого солдата. Asks the mother of the killed soldier. Moments before he was killed.
Мама, я уже не в Крыму.
Mama, I'm no longer in Crimea.
Не на учениях.
I'm not in training sessions.
А где?
Where are you then?
Папа спрашивает, можно
Papa is asking whether I can send you a parcel.
Так какую посылку,
what kind of a parcel, Mama, can you send me?
Что ты говоришь такое?
What are you talking about? What happened?
Мама, я на
Mama,
Украине.
I'm in Ukraine.
Тут настоящая
there
война.
Is a real war raging
Мне
here.
Страшно.
I'm afraid.
Мы бьем по всем городам.
We are bombing all of the cities together, even targeting civilians. We were told that they would welcome us. And they are falling under our armored vehicles, throwing themselves under the wheels and not allowing us to pass. They call us fascists. Mama, this is so hard. And this was several moments before he was killed.
Imagine, if you want to just visualize the magnitude of the tragedy.
And he went on with his speech there, but a very interesting matter of that sharing that exchange, the text exchange between a Russian mother and her son, a Russian soldier. Vladimir Putin has ordered the nuclear forces be put on high alert. That was just about, Sunday, 48 hours ago. The Epoch Times reporting that negotiations between Russian and Ukrainian officials in a third country on yesterday yielded no results, officials said after the talks had concluded. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky sent top officials as intermediaries as Russian-Ukrainian forces continued battling in Ukraine, including near major cities. The negotiations were held in Belarus, which has allowed Russian forces to pass through during the war. Also, it's being reported on Monday, President Zelensky of Ukraine said he would begin releasing prisoners who have real combat experience so they can compensate for their guilt by fighting for Ukraine on the front lines of its war with Russia. Inmates who are qualified will be released from custody, equipped with military kits, and deployed to the hottest spots where the fighting is more intense to help with the struggle for our state, Zelensky said. And also Germany. Germany has reversed course about not aiding. They now have opted to send 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 Stinger anti-aircraft defense systems out of its own arsenal, and has also granted approval for the Netherlands and Estonia to ship some of their own German-originated weapons to aid Ukraine. That was reported by Politico. Have just a little bit more on this, but also we want to mention the State of the Union speech coming up here tonight, so stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate? You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. Two world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Just a couple more stories dealing on this issue here today. Former President Trump certainly is warning about what comes next after this invasion. Waiving sanctions in front of Russian leader Putin will not be enough to stop the invasion of Ukraine, according to former President Trump, who said that he fears that war in Ukraine could be a prelude to a wider conflict. It's just going to be a question of time. Trump said it's going to be a very ugly thing that's taking place, should never have happened. CNSNews.com tells us that despite Russia's invasion of Ukraine being condemned by the U.S. and countries around the world, Twitter continues to allow President Vladimir to post on its platform. Isn't that something? Whereby the Russian president can post on Twitter, but former President Trump cannot. And then I wanted to share this alarming story as well from Newsmax.com. Came out on Sunday, soon after Russia invaded Ukraine on the night of February 24th, painted X signs began appearing in all major Ukrainian cities. These X signs were often alongside objects that looked like handheld mirrors. Ukrainian sources told Newsmax that these markers were everywhere just before bombing began. Now Ukrainian defense forces know that Putin had deployed sleeper agents into cities well before the war started to mark buildings, roads, and key infrastructure with luminescent markers to improve airstrike accuracy, along with anchors to improve missile strike precision. So far, Russia's objective of decapitating Ukraine's democratically elected government by launching a multi-pronged attack has been a disaster. Apparently, Russia's covert plan to target civilians and other targets in cities has been planned months in advance. So they talk about these sleeper cells that went in advance and having these markers that were being able to use with luminescent markers that they were to mark the areas for striking capabilities by aircraft overhead. Very interesting indeed. Folks, that's much what's happening with Ukraine and Russia and the flight to many nations that is taking place. A reminder, as we were talking earlier with Paul Papa from Door of Hope International, they have their website, Dohi, dohi.org. Their number, 877-440-3644. We also just want to point out that tonight is the State of the Union Address, and I know we've got quite a mixed number of topics here today, but one thing that's interesting is that the House lifted its mask mandate just in time for the State of the Union Address. The Hill reported this, that the House is lifting its mask mandate ahead of the State of the Union Address, making mask wearing optional throughout the Capitol complex. In a letter on Sunday, Capitol physician Brian Monahan said that coronavirus risk reduction measures would remain in place for the State of the Union address, with the exception that KN95 or N95 mask wear is no longer required, and mask wear is now an individual choice option. Also, want to make mention of this, yesterday there was a press conference at the White House. Jen Psaki was asked a question by a reporter whether Biden would address any new policies, especially as it relates to inflation. So here's how she responded to that question.
Can you tell us a little bit more? We understood from the call that the president will be addressing elements of the Build Back Better plan when it comes to things like child care and paid family leave. And officials talked about how those things, if implemented, will lower costs for families. But they were hesitant to use the word inflation or say whether that would be addressed directly in the president's speech. So can you say whether the president will be addressing any new policies, not necessarily new domestic specific programs, but policies that would address inflation directly?
Well, first let me say the president will absolutely use the word inflation tomorrow, and he will talk about inflation in his speech. Of course, that is a huge issue on the minds of Americans. Now, one thing to note is one of the best, most important steps that the Senate could take is to confirm his slate of eminently qualified nominees to fill out the Federal Reserve Board, given they have a very important role as it relates to inflation. But I think what you will hear the president talk about, and I think this is what they were talking about on this call, is how we're going to address costs for the American people and lower costs. And we talk a lot about inflation in here. Economists talk about inflation. The Federal Reserve talks about inflation. Hugely important. How people experience it is what it means for their pocketbooks, for their budgets, for their bank accounts, and how they're paying for things. And that's why a lot of what you're going to hear about tomorrow as he talks about it is how he's going to reduce costs. Now, the Build Back, you know, parts of his agenda that have that he has talked about significantly a lot over the course of the last several months, lowering costs for childcare, lowering costs for elder care, lowering costs for prescription drugs, those are not done yet. So he will reiterate his call for Congress to move forward on those. But I would also note that in the speech, he's going to make clear that one of the best ways to lower costs over the long run is to increase the productive capacity of our economy, to make more things in America with more American workers contributing and earning a good living. He's going to describe the emerging manufacturing comeback with American companies betting on America again because of the administration's commitment to domestic industrial revitalization and technological development. He will also explain that we can also lower costs by promoting fair competition in the U.S. economy. And there are new steps to lower, and he will talk about steps to lower consumer prices and level the playing field for American businesses and ocean shipping, and new steps to protect seniors and other nursing home residents by cracking down on unsafe nursing homes. And he's also going to talk about, reflect on one of the strongest labor market recoveries in American history and make clear that it's important to continue to take steps to eliminate barriers to good-paying jobs for workers across America. So I would expect that you will hear a lot, the American people will hear a lot, about how he's going to lower their costs, how he's going to continue to build a strong economy over the long term.
Okay, we're just anxiously awaiting how that strong economy is going to be built, as we've seen so much decimation in this past year. And we understand that following the State of the Union address, I believe it's tomorrow that President Biden is going to be up in the Superior, Wisconsin area and promotion of some of his policies there. And making laps into different locations here around the country. Let me just do two things. We're going to open some phone lines here today if you'd like to comment either on Ukraine or the State of the Union. And then I've got another story I'm going to share with you. But our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. I want to share with you as well from the Center for Security Policy, a release that came out just a short time ago. I mean, within the last couple of hours, Joe Biden's State of the Union address tonight will likely feature promises of more federal spending aimed at building out America's electric infrastructure to support an endless pursuit of electrification of U.S. transportation infrastructure, a goal to which his administration, along with Congress, has directed hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars. A shocking 60-minute segment aired on Sunday proves that these dreams of electrification can be quickly dashed by any of our adversaries. They made a reference to the weather because of the catastrophic vulnerability of the single infrastructure upon which it all depends, the U.S. electric grid. The report revealed that the grid has been subjected to more than 700 acts of sabotage over the last decade, and that an adversary targeting just 9 electric substations could take out the entire grid for months or years, spelling economic and societal catastrophe for the American people. The show also revealed that there is literally no enforceable standard established by government to defend against simultaneous physical attacks on multiple substations, and our enemies know this. This reality should prompt President Biden to include in his remarks some concrete, four concrete and immediate actions to address what is arguably the most important public policy issue of all, the danger that our electric grid is vulnerable to potentially catastrophic takedown. They mentioned that the president must make protecting the grid against all hazards a top priority, to create a czar, a person at top responsible for performing it, to secure legislation requiring electric companies to do their parts and then prevent them from utilizing likely compromised equipment from China and other hostile powers. The Secure the Grid Coalition. The coalition is calling upon President Biden to take action to secure the grid now before it sustains devastating attack endangering tens of millions of Americans. The Secure the Grid Coalition is an informal team of world-class public policy, energy, and national security practitioners, legislators, and industry insiders that's dedicated to strengthening the resilience of America's electric grid and sponsored by the Center for Security Policy. So they're talking about the great danger to our electric grid that President Biden does need to address tonight, but will not probably be addressing the grid, but he'll be talking about the electrification of our nation, you know, putting in all the electric stations across the country to power up the electric vehicles that he is proposing and mandating come across the nation. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Maybe you want to state what the state of the nation is through your perspective. We have, is it Nina calling in from Phoenix,
yes,
Arizona? You're on the air.
I want to ask the American people to put enough pressure on Biden and Congress to open up the pipeline of oil that would greatly reduce our inflation. It would stop paying Russia to build tanks and bullets to kill Ukrainians. It would go very far and be very helpful for the whole world, especially the U.S.
Well, certainly the attacks on oil as a whole, and I think we heard that from Jen Psaki as well, as another question had come in regard to oil and the gas prices, and she said, well, the president is committed to lessening our dependence on those items. So very interesting feedback there, but there's been an attack on oil since the oath of office was sworn in by Joe Biden here just over a year ago.
And he himself said that he would do everything in his power to help the American people, the American economy, and our money that we're spending on Russian gas is helping fund this terrible war.
Thank you for your thoughts here on the issue. Let's go to Rebecca next in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Rebecca.
Yeah, hi. I had a question about the Ukraine fly zone. The gentleman whose father, you know, was taken by the KGB, I forgot his name, but he mentioned if we could secure that, what if the American planes that were taken over in Afghanistan were sold to Russia? That's my question on that.
Well, you know, and there was just a great celebration at all the military hardware and gear that we left behind in Afghanistan. How much of that appeared up on the auction block? How much of that is going to be put into use against the United States either now or in years to come?
Or even Ukraine now, huh? I mean, I just worry about that. I mean, it's going to confuse us if we think they're American planes and they're like Russia or China. Instead.
Yeah, I mean, there are some reports that there are Russian soldiers that were dressed as Ukrainian soldiers as they had initially crossed the border. And again, the sleeper cells that were put in, and makes us wonder about our own borders here in the U.S. as well. We've been warned by those, especially as it relates to those who want to do harm against our nation, about sleeper agents coming into the U.S. just waiting for their call to act.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I hope everybody keeps everybody else in their prayers, because we're all in trouble in this world right now.
Indeed. Thank you for the call, and yeah, apart from God, we are all in trouble. Let's certainly keep this before the throne of grace, and as we were told as well by Paul Popoff, to be praying for our brothers and sisters in harm's way right now, and be praying for their workers to be safe and to be able to help the displaced people inside Ukraine and the refugees in Poland and Moldova and Romania. We'll take more of your calls right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. All the eyes of the world are on Ukraine and Russia, but broadcast partner Dr. Peter Vincent Pry warns Americans to be very careful of propaganda that would desire to see America drawn into a war in Ukraine, a war with Russia. Why is this dangerous? For many levels, we're talking about then two nuclear nations, America and Russia, bumping up against each other. Only makes for the possibility of a misfire, miscommunication, a nuclear war. There's also no American national interest in Ukraine. The Biden regime has made so many blunders. One has to wonder if they're blundering their way into a war on purpose, not only to cover their mistakes and national crisis back at home, but also to further erode America on the world stage and bring about a new global superpower, America no longer, but China and Russia, and bring down America. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going right back to the phone lines, getting your observations as to matters that are going on, whether it be that in the Baltic region, that of Europe, that of the State of the Union here. Let's go to Stephen next in Tennessee. Stephen, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Just like to make a comment that might sound pretty radical, but I don't see much difference between Putin and our own President Biden as far as being serial killers. Our president stands for the murder of innocent babies, and Putin stands for the murder through warfare of killing young children. And I don't see much difference. They've both been immoral in that sense, and I hate to see the Russian people pay a price for all these sanctions. The Russian people are good people, like that young boy that was texting his mother. He didn't know what was going on. He was lied to. And I would like to say this. Back in 1994, our demonstration team, the new U.S. Navy Blue Angels, were escorted into Moscow by jet fighters, and they landed in Moscow and were greeted by the young people of Moscow, and they had a great welcoming. And the Russian pilots flew in our jets, and we flew in theirs, and it was a love fest. And they're great people in Russia, so don't take it out on them. But here's what worries me. If the Bible says it's a life for a life, and we have killed 60 million babies, who says this isn't a prerequisite to us being judged by God and losing 60 million Americans? We're on the verge of escalating this thing into a nuclear war, and Putin is just crazy enough to set it off. So that's pretty radical thinking, but that's the way I see it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen, for your candidness. And indeed, Scripture says, God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Lou in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, Lou. Lou, you're on the air. Okay, let's go to Tamara in Poinette. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to say that I think that the New World Order is all behind what's going on in Russia. I don't buy for one minute that the war is because they wanted to take over Ukraine. I feel like everything's happened over the last few years has been leading up to this New World Order, mm-hmm. and by all of our gas being sourced from Russia, it's pretty obvious that, you know, this was put in place to force the United States to do the climate crisis by electric power thing that they wanted to put in for quite some time. And it's all part of this UN Agenda 21.
Well, there is very much, and that all plays into Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset that we hear about as well. There is certainly those that are working behind the scenes to bring about a new world order and to bring about this great reset. As you've heard said before, you've got to have some kind of great collapse. I mean, to reset things, you got to have, you know, a shutdown that takes place so they can reset and put a new system into place. And even as the interview we conducted with Gary Ka recently, or Alex Newman in the past, and talking about the efforts that are being made to put in a one-world political system, a one-world economic system, a one-world religious system. All of these players are working behind the scenes to bring this about.
Yeah, I think people need to take note on how many people they're willing to kill in order to bring this agenda into action.
Thank you for your comments here today. And, oh, just lost our next caller, 800-733-9829 here today on Crosstalk. Friends, Scripture talks about in the last days, perilous times will come. And we are seeing things that are unfolding before our very eyes. But don't lose hope. Don't turn to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amidst all these things, do not lose hope. Our hope is not in political machinery. Our hope is not in weapons of war. Our hope is not in what policy is going to be dictated through the U.S. Congress or the European Union or the United Nations. No, our hope is in the Lord, and so we keep our trust in Him. We've got Lewis in Kingman, Arizona. Lewis, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering, most Christians all know that the Bible can't be changed. It looks like we're heading right into a spot where the false prophet can bring his head about, right in for the beast. I mean, two little horns shall be uprooted. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's us and Russia falling right into the plan.
Well, you know, we see the stage being set, as we have so often heard from our late friend Jimmy DeYoung. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Thank you so very much, Lewis, for that observation. Brian in Superior, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. When I was in high school in Duluth, Minnesota, we met Russian sailors who were loading grain from North Dakota at our grain elevators here in the port city. Mm-hmm. And I was a high school kid. We went down to the ship and we met a couple sailors. We took them up to the mall and they bought blue jeans and cowboy hats and stuff and came back. We had a great time. The Russian people are great people. And it disappoints me. I saw on YouTube where Putin said that when he met Clinton, this is 20 years ago, they actually thought about joining NATO, and Clinton bristled at the idea. So they set up Russia as our enemy, and Russia is not our enemy. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you for the call here today. And certainly we look at the politics of that which is taking place and bring that into perspective here as well. And folks, as we talk about these issues here today, we're going to squeeze Tom in McConnellsville, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes. My comment is that I am surprised that whenever these congressmen and senators are interviewed, I have yet to hear an interviewer ask them what they're going to do about a situation. They always come back and say, well, we should do this, well, we shouldn't do that. But no one asks them and corner them and say, what are you going to do about it?
Okay. Thank you, Tom. And we got about 20 seconds. But, Paul, we've got you in Phoenix, Arizona. You got about 20 seconds. Go ahead. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Okay. So we've run out of time there. Friends, again, here as we close the broadcast, the website for our guests early in the program, dohi.org, D-O-H-I, Door of Hope International.org. Phone number 877-440-3644. We have run out of time here in the broadcast today. We thank you for tuning in here to Crosstalk on VCY America. And friends, be praying. Be praying. Certainly there is evil greatly abounds across this world today. And we know that in this world of evil and darkness, that the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.